This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with the Bears pregame show on The Score, starring Score Bears experts Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
He's Pat, I'm Hub, and this hour on The Score is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-KARS, the number 4-KIDS. And now it is our pleasure to welcome in another special guest. Mark Craig covers the Vikings for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Good enough to join us this afternoon on our Bears pregame. And Mark, I don't have your Twitter handle here, but I will get it as we're talking to make sure people know where they can follow you. Thank you so much for being with us. Hope that you are having a good weekend so far.
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Mark, we do appreciate you taking the time for us. And what we're trying to figure out, obviously the Minnesota Vikings played in the NFC title game last year, had the miracle in Minneapolis, an outstanding season. Got off to a bit of a slow start this year. They're a half game behind the Bears in the standings. A lot of people didn't see the Bears coming. Neither one of these teams has played the most difficult schedule yet. So to me, kind of the most important question for Bears fans is, how close is this Vikings team right now to where they were last year when they were winning playoff games?
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on because, you know, they played the Rams and got embarrassed defensively, and then I think they're 4-1 since then. But, you know, they're beating up on the Cardinals and the Jets and teams like that, and they lost a primetime home game against the Saints by double digits. So, you know, it's hard to put your finger on just how good they are. And I think you could probably look at the Bears' schedule in the same way. I don't think any team in the NFC North is going into this week at beating a team that has currently had a winning record. So, one of them was Detroit beating the Patriots. So it's I think tonight we'll find out just which team's better. You know, I'd like the team. You know, to me, the quarterback that's on the road in this game against these defenses is probably the one that's not going to win, based on the pressure that these teams can bring.
Hey, Mark, looking at the injury report here, you know, all week a couple guys for the Vikings have been limited. They've been in and out of the practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I see Anthony Barr's questionable, Tom Compton's questionable, Mike Rimmers is questionable, David Morgan's out, Andrew Sendejo's out, but there's a whole bunch of other guys on that list that have kind of been in and out of practice all week. Where do they stand on the injury front?
Well, they've actually gotten better. They've gotten healthier with the bye week. You know, Dalvin Cook is back to 100%. There was some question about him going into the last game, and then he had that 70-yard run, which was pretty good. Barr's going to, you know, I think he's going to play. He's missed the last two games. They're healthier. They're actually healthier than they were going into the bye.
Mark, it appears, as you break down this football team, that Dalvin Cook can be a huge difference maker. We saw the big run last week. He has struggled to stay healthy, obviously tore the ACL last year. I just love the kid coming out of college and the flashes that we've seen around the injuries. Is there a concern that he could be one of these guys? He's not tiny, but he's smallish in stature. Is there a concern that he's one of these guys that they're just not going to be able to keep on the football field? Or is there a pretty good feeling that he's healthy now and you're about to see the best of Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, I mean, like last year, that was a non-contact ACL injury. He's, you know, running through the hole against the Lions in week 4, and the knee just buckled like you see a lot of them in today's NFL. The hamstring was lingering. Yeah, so, yeah, that's more of a concern. It's like, you know, I don't know if that was related to him coming back from the knee, but, anytime you miss this many games, you question when you're this young as a running back, you got to definitely question whether they'll be able to count on him every week.
So another young player is Danielle Hunter, and I think it's Danielle, not Danielle, correct? I want to get that right.
Yeah, Danielle, yeah.
Danielle Hunter. He is, what, only 24 years old. He's had a pretty good start to his career with 6 sacks, 12.5 sacks, 7 sacks last year, and now has 11.5 sacks through 9 games. Is this guy for real, and is he just still ascending?
Yeah, he is definitely for real. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and I hear a lot of people being called freaks and this and that. You hear it a lot. Randy Moss certainly fit the bill. This guy is phenomenal physically, but I think and Zimmer has mentioned this many times, and when you get to know him, it goes beyond just what he is athletically. He's gifted athletically, but he really, his work ethic and his character is about as good as I think I've ever seen, and he is only going to keep getting better, I think.
We are visiting with Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, covers the Vikings, checking in prior to Bears-Vikings tonight at Soldier Field. Mark, Mike Zimmer, one of my very favorite people in the NFL. He's not only an outstanding football coach, he's an outstanding individual. And he's not the most verbose guy in the world. He's not the most talkative. I think he is fairly transparent when you talk to him. But it's hard to get a feel for his style. How would you describe him as a head coach compared to the other guys that you've covered with the Vikings?
Well, he's definitely old school. I mean, he is a lot of, there's a lot of Parcells in him. Didn't put on quite the show that Parcells was able to put on whenever he was in his prime. But, he's a tough, gritty teacher. I would call him a teacher. I mean, he has taken some guys, especially as in secondary players, and made some really good players and made them better, and some players that, were average, he's brought out a lot in them. So, he's got a good style. It's a defensive, tough, throwback type of coach.
Mike Zimmer brought over John DeFilippo from the Eagles. He was their quarterback's coach. What are Bears fans going to see tonight from his offense?
Yeah, it's like every team in the league now, the Bears certainly are in that mix of, everybody's setting records, scoring records, passing records. This is might be a little bit different with being able to have Dalvin Cook on the field more, but the Vikings like to throw it around, and the offensive line is not the best, so it hasn't been a very good run-blocking offensive line, so they've had to throw it quite a bit. And Kirk Cousins has been done a really good job of facing pressure. His completion percentage, I think, is over 70%. He has turned the ball over. He's got 5 or 6 fumbles, so it's more of a wide-open offense, I think. They definitely throw it deeper down the field than they could last year.
Is it more his turnovers he's having, I see, as could be an advantage for the Bears with having Khalil Mack and the pass rush they have. The turnovers, are they all mostly coming from the pocket and he's not securing the ball, or how are these happening?
Well, I'd say half are on the offensive line, and there's a couple where he's left the pocket and had it out extended, so they've been able to swat at it. And whenever you start fumbling like that, everybody's going for it. And tonight against this team, certainly, that could change. That could be where the game is lost if the Vikings lose, would be just the turning the ball over against this defense.
Mark, the Vikings' number 3 receiver, I'm assuming he's still number 3. He was supposed to be. He actually was drafted to be number 1, is kind of a local hero. Laquon Treadwell, Chicago kid, South Side, went down to Mississippi, first-round pick. I loved him coming out of school. I thought this kid was going to be a special wideout in the NFL, and he has really struggled to find himself. He's been a little better this year, but terribly inconsistent. What can you tell us about where Laquon Treadwell is at?
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple where where he's not a breakout NFL receiver. He doesn't have the speed that comes with a guy that you consider a number one receiver. He just doesn't have that. He's getting, I don't want to say the most out of what he has, but he's just not a guy that I think is ever going to be a number one. He can be a helpful receiver, but they have an undrafted rookie, Chad Beebe, who's has kind of flashed more than Laquon has. But they haven't given up on him. They keep trying to work him in there, and definitely they went into the season pegging him as that number 3 guy.
We're talking with Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and you can find him at Mark Craig NFL. He not only has great NFL content, or I'm sorry, Minnesota Vikings content, but has great NFL and NFC North content as well. All right, you guys have kicking issues. We have kicking issues here in Chicago. Dan Bailey is 12 of 15 for the year. How confident are you, and how confident are the Vikings in Dan Bailey?
Yeah, I think right now they're looking at him as because of his track record being, and they have been through the ringer. Ironically, the last two wins they've had here have been, you know, by two different kickers that have kicked last, you know, field goals in the closing second to win. The last two times they've won here, but I think look at Dan Bailey as a guy that's going to stabilize the kicking situation. He's missed one PAT, you know, one field goal in New York that he missed against the Jets. I mean. One of the windier games I think I've ever seen, and he said he hit it perfect, and it was going right at the goalpost, and the wind just stopped the thing. So they're not as concerned about him as they have been the past couple of years with when Kai had some problems, and then obviously when Blair Walsh's career just imploded on him.
Again, Mark Craig is the beat reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune covering the Vikings. Good enough to take some time out with us here on The Score. Mark, I want to go back just for a second. As you mentioned, Chad Beebe, another local kid, of course. His dad, Don Beebe, I believe Chad played at Aurora Christian in high school. I know he was at Northern Illinois, undrafted rookie free agent. That leads me to kind of my next question for you. Two of my favorite people in the NFL, old friends, guys I kind of, well, I'm too old. I can't say I grew up in the business with them. But when they got here, I'd been around for a while. Rick Spielman, George Payton, of course, they got their starts here in Chicago during the Dave Wanstead, Mark Hatley years, now the GM and assistant GM. What is the attitude, the mood in Minneapolis about the job that they've done, and do Vikings fans feel good about where they've got this organization?
Yeah, I think they feel real good about it, where they've gotten them. And not only those two, but Rob Brzezinski, their salary cap guy, you know, they've managed to extend a lot of talented defensive players and then go out and give a record contract to Kirk Cousins, which has been, obviously he'll have to prove himself if they get to the playoffs. That's where he's going to make his name. But I think people are happy with that for sure. And then, they have some undrafted guys that have, you know, obviously Adam Thielen is a guy that everyone knows about. In training camp, is Chad Beebe. There was only two guys I wrote about it, that undrafted guys during the summer, and one was Chad Beebe, and the other one was Mike Boone, the running back who also made the team. They just, especially Chad, just jumped out at you. Like, you know, if he was a little bit bigger, he would have been a high draft pick, but just the way he moves, he's hard to cover for these guys.
Another young player who I stuck out to me on tape is Brian O'Neill, the right tackle, number 75, rookie out of Pitt. I believe he was a second-round draft choice, and he has a heck of a test going against Khalil Mack tonight. Can you break him down a little bit, and how impressed have you been with his rookie season so far?
Well, he came in, and he looked at him, and the way they talked about him was almost like this was going to be a redshirt year for him because he's only been playing tackle for, I don't know, a handful of years, maybe 3 years or something. He's a high school receiver, played tight end, to start off in college at tight end. He just didn't look strong enough to play the part, injuries forced him in, and he ended up doing better than I thought he would. I thought he would be overwhelmed, but he hasn't been. He hasn't been dominant, but he's held his own and more. You know, obviously, tonight is a whole new world for him, so we'll see how he does tonight.
Mark, we do appreciate you taking time out for us. Anything we missed? I mean, as you look at this Bears-Viking matchup, what has been, from the Viking perspective, the biggest concern about these Chicago Bears?
Well, I would think it'd be Khalil Mack. I mean, to me, Khalil Mack is the can wreck a game, especially with this offensive line struggling at times. He could get to Cousins before Cousins has a chance to even do anything. So, and then obviously they got, you know, he's not their only defensive player, but I'll be interested to see the Bears offense. It's kind of strange seeing the kind of numbers and the passing that you're seeing coming out of Chicago. So it'll be fun to watch a different approach, a much different approach than what we've seen here in the last few years.
All right, Mark, we do appreciate the time. Thank you so much for checking in with us. Again, it's Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. You can follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Craig NFL. We are going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We want to talk with Bears fans, and we will be looking for your texts as well as 67011, and hope that you can come out and see us before the evening is over, as Pat Manley and I are live out at Piazza in Aurora. We'll be joined in a little while by Olin Krutz and Big Cat Williams. Our whole pregame here right up to kickoff, we'll be watching the game, 2 hours of postgame. We are here courtesy of our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager. And by the way, guys, if that's not enough to get you out here, I don't think I've ever seen these quite before, but there are two 36-foot.
Yeah, corner to corner.
We talk about large screen, high def. It's a little more than large screen, guys. Come out and watch on a 36-foot high-def TV. It's kind of like sitting in a movie theater and having the game in front of you. Love to see you out here again. We are at Piazza, 85 Executive Drive in Aurora, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, and we are back in just a moment. Welcome back to our Bears-Vikings pregame here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. We are, however, not in the studio today. We are out on remote at Piazza out in Aurora, 85 Executive Drive. Couldn't be much easier to get to. Couldn't be a better place to come out and watch the game tonight, guys. You can watch it on the 36-foot high-def big screen. That's a big screen, guys, and they are really cool to watch a football game on. Got a couple of them here. So come on out and join Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz, Big Cat Williams, and me. I'm Hub Arkish. We are here thanks to our friends at Bud Light, and we've got Bud Light specials for you tonight. Brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. Mark Grody will be checking in from Soldier Field in a little while when he's got the actives, inactives. A little strange timing with a 7:20 kick. They don't have to release him until 5:50. Normally we have him about 5:30, but when Mark gets him, he will give us a call. We get back to the phones right now again, 312-644-6767. Tim is up in Milwaukee. Tim, thank you for dialing us up. How you doing?
Hey, how nice to talk to you. I'm an old dog, too, so we've been around a long time. But I remember the lean days of the 80s for the Packers. But I wonder, the Bears, a couple questions for you. One, how many players, in your opinion, are the Bears are awake? I think they're pretty ascending. I mean, with Trubisky, and they got some nice role players there now on that team. And my question number two is, not related to Chicago, but in your inner circles, what have you been hearing about McCarthy and losing his job and or getting let go at the end of the year? And do you think Ted Thompson in his last few years has ruined that team and ruined the chances of the Packers going back to the Super Bowl? Thanks, Hub. Nice to talk to you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the call, Tim. I don't think Ted Thompson ruined anything. I think Ted Thompson did a spectacular job for him. Unfortunately, his health started to slip away the last couple of years and wasn't able to keep up. But they've got some promising young football players there that he brought in and Brian Gutekunst took over this year who haven't quite developed yet. So we'll see. You know, I mean, this happens with every team in the NFL, Pat, and I think Packers fans are just a little spoiled. You know, when you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback for 25 years, you know, Aaron Rodgers follows Brett Favre, you know, that in itself has kept them competitive. So I don't think they're the most talented team in the NFL. They're not the least talented team in the NFL. But they're no more than a year away from getting better. They may still be a playoff team this year. I'm not writing them off yet with Rodgers. You know, as far as what I'm hearing that Rodgers is doing everything he can behind the scenes to cost McCarthy his job. That for whatever reason, that relationship went south. And, I know some of the reasons. I know he's been very unhappy with some of the assistant coaching changes. He was unhappy when Tom Clement lost his job, unhappy that Alex Van Pelt lost his job. He was the quarterback coach last year. Beyond that, could there be additional friction for reasons I'm not aware of? Of course, there could be. But I've talked to enough people close to the situation to know that at this stage of their relationship, Rodgers is not a McCarthy fan. And that's not going to play well because Aaron Rodgers ain't going anywhere.
No, and I think you hit it, you nailed it right there. But first off, Hub, you're not that old. Whoever that was, I forgot who called. You're not that old, Hub. But yeah, and I think if these rumblings are true and what you're saying, it's true that McCarthy and Rodgers aren't getting along. It's obviously they're not getting rid of Rodgers. That's the guy. So they're going to stick with him and figure out who he wants. And I think what he's seeing is the Bears offense, the Eagles, all these new offenses, the Rams offense, watching Drew Brees right now, what Sean Payton's always done with Drew Brees and how creative they've been. You hear, I forgot I was listening to the Rich Eisen show, and they have Greg Jennings was on and talking about how uncreative Mike McCarthy is with his offense and how frustrated he was when he was there with the way things were going. And he kind of spoke about the situation between Rodgers and McCarthy and why he thinks there is a little issue. And I think it's because Rodgers watches all these other offenses on Sunday and wants to be a part of something like that.
You know, it could very well be. I mean, there clearly is still some talent there. If they could keep them healthy, David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, about as good a pair of bookend tackles as you're going to find. I think the interior of the offensive line could use an upgrade. You know, certainly Devontae Adams has become a legitimate number one receiver. This kid, I can never remember his name, Marquez. Valdez-Stantling or something, whatever it is.
I can say Equanimeous St. Brown, though. I know that name. That's
he's another young one who's coming on. Geronimo Allison, the Illinois kid who's on IR right now. And these young running backs. I mean, Aaron Jones the last couple games has looked like he could be very good. Defensively, Blake Martinez is playing out of his mind this year. Kenny Clark on the nose is very good.
The Frackle kid had three. How do you say his name?
Tyler Flacco.
Yeah, Flacco. He had three sacks against Seattle.
Yeah, no,
he's
a
nice young player.
They and Mike Pettine's done a nice job. I was a little slow to understanding why Dom Capers had to move on. He did win a Super Bowl for him, but now I can see it because Pettine has changed some things up. They just are not playing 60 minutes on defense is their problem right now. So, but I don't think they're far away. You know, as far as what you would want to add, again, I'd like to see him get better on the inside of the offensive line. You know, they've got nothing but first and second round picks in the secondary. Those kids have got to develop. They could still use a little bit more pass rush, even though they are getting home a lot more this year. But they're not far away. It may just be a question of figuring out. You know, tight end, I don't know if Jimmy Graham is ever going to be what they want him to be because he's not the player he was a few years ago. They could probably use an upgrade there as well. I think the first part of Tim's question was about where I wanted to see the Bears upgrade. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat, certainly want to hear what you have to say as well. You know, I don't know that there's any position that they're so good at that they couldn't stand an upgrade other than obviously, you know, Trubisky is the starting quarterback for now. But I would like to see them definitely get upgraded almost anywhere on the offensive line but center. I think Cody Whitehair is having a really good year. You can absolutely win championships with Cody Whitehair. Kyle Long was playing. He wasn't Kyle Long.
No, he was playing well, but he wasn't playing to the Kyle Long level we've seen.
He was making
Kyle
Long plays, but he couldn't do it consistently, and I think it's because that ankle was bad before he injured it. You know, we kept looking at the three surgeries trying to rehab. I don't think that was the problem. I don't think he's had his legs underneath him. And at this point, he'll be 30 in December, so, you know, you have to even question where he's going to be at. But if they were able to get a healthy Kyle Long and then Cody Whitehair, I think you got enough promise in James Daniels that you focus on the tackles. I'd also like to see him get better at tight end. Adam Shaheen is a promise right now, and Trey Burton is kind of a specialist in my mind. I mean, you can have him on the field for 30, 40 snaps, but one more tight end would be nice. And then over on the defensive side of the ball, I'd still like to see somebody push Adrian Amos for that second safety job. I'm really impressed with the front seven right now.
I mean, oh, yeah.
You know, again, keep bringing in athletes, but I'm not sure that they need upgrades other than that.
No, Hub, I'm with you. You know, you look at this team, you say, where could you put a quick fix right now if you could go buy somebody and put them in there? I would say offensive line for sure. Mm-hmm. And then if you're looking for the future, I think that is where you need to draft and fill some of those holes. And then we will find out who the Bears are if Mitch keeps progressing, because I think they have talent everywhere. But one of the question marks is, what is the talent down the depth chart?
Yeah.
The Bears have been very lucky this year where they've had no injuries.
Yep.
They're, you know, who's going to be the real backup corner? Who's going to be the real backup safety? We haven't had to see him play. We know Nick Kwiatkowski has got some game reps, but he's not to the level of those other guys. I mean, there's a reason why he's a backup, but the backups everywhere across the board, I think now it's just time for Ryan Pace next year. It's kind of weird we're talking about this already, but next year start filling in that depth, and it's a great thing that, to me, he has 22 pretty good players out there right now.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to catch the Cats at Ryan Field this fall. Northwestern hosts Illinois on November 24th for Senior Day. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And, you know, Pat, I wonder if we're even asking the right question, or at least answering the right question, because the reality is, when you look at the New England Patriots, other than Brady and Gronk, and there's some other really good players, but how many players on that roster would you say, I got to have that guy? And what I'm getting at is that what makes the Patriots special, and again, Brady, no question about it, and I'm not predicting that Mitch Trubisky is going to be Tom Brady. There's only one. But it's Belichick.
Yeah.
And I think this coaching staff the Bears have put together is outstanding. Obviously, Nagy's got a long way to go before he should be mentioned in the same sentence with Belichick. But I think some of the things he's doing are very promising. And when you have outstanding coaching, suddenly some of these talent weaknesses, because you can scheme around them and you can do things that, that allow you to be competitive. And so, yeah, I think the Bears can upgrade a few positions. But if this coaching staff is for real, and it looks to be, I don't know that they're that far away.
No, I agree with you, Hub. Excuse me. And to go back about Bill Belichick, I've talked to Roosevelt Coleman, the former Bears linebacker who played in New England for a while, and I said, what's the difference there? And he didn't talk about the talent. He talked about the coaching. He talked about how he could take his guys, Bill Belichick, take his guys, match them up to the personnel against they're going against, and make sure they're in a favorable position, whether it's a corner matched up on this guy, linebacker matched up on this guy. And he also said when he would put his hand on the ground and he would look up at a formation, he would know this or this was going to happen. So all he had to do was react basically to two things. He wasn't out there struggling with trying to figure out, you know, what was going on. He was coached so well that he understood what was going to happen in front of him and could just go play that much faster. And that's right. It's coaching can make that big of a difference.
Adam, I'm going to do this over the air. Adam Stasinski is producing for us back in the studio. I'm going to take a chance here, Adam. I got a hunch Grody is going to be a few more minutes because of the later start. And if we keep waiting and then we don't get the break in, we're going to end up with a 10-minute commercial break we don't want to do. So let's jump to the break right now. If Grody does call us, we'll just cut out of the break early and go back to it. But we will take a quick commercial break now. When we get back, we are going to visit with Mark Grody, who is, of course, the sideline reporter during the broadcast of the games at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark is also our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at The Score, and he will be with us to talk actives, inactives, and late developments with the Bears in just a moment right here at The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so that worked out the way we thought. We will be joined by Mr. Grody in just a couple minutes when he's got the actives all set. Right now, you've got Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arca, Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings pregame here at 670 The Score. And we are out and about today. We'd love to have you guys come out and see us. We are at the Piazza in Aurora, right across from the Fox River Valley Mall. We're at 85 Executive Drive. We are brought to you by Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. We've got all kinds of Bud Light drink specials out here today. We will be doing post-game from here as well with Olin Krutz and James Big Cat Williams. Come on out and watch the game with us. And again, only because I've never seen him before, I'm going to keep telling you about it. 36-foot big screen high-def TVs. I mean, wherever we go when we do these remotes, we talk about all the large screen high defs, but I don't think we've got anybody else, Pat, who's got the 36-footers.
No, I'm pretty impressive. Not going home to watch the game. I'm staying right here. This place is awesome. It's huge. There's a lot of people out here. We got Khalil Mack jerseys. We got Kyle Long jerseys. We got number 23. Tell me, is that a Devin Hester or is that a Kyle Fuller? Devin Hester jersey. That's a great crowd out here today.
Yeah, and for those of you who like to play the ponies, it also happens to be an OTB site, so I'm not real knowledgeable in that area, but I know I'm looking at the room over there. There's all kind of, I don't even know where they're running at this time of year, but the ponies are running, and you can play them out here at the Piazza as well. So come on out and see us. We would love to have you. Our phone number, 312-644-6767. You know, you look at some of the matchups here, and it's interesting. I think because of where the Bears are at and because there are doubters and because some of these guys are coming around in their third or fourth season, you wonder about them. But, you know, one guy who I'm not in the least bit worried about tonight is Kyle Fuller. And that's, you know, Pat, because not only the way he's playing, but as good as Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are, they're both really possession receivers, if that makes any sense.
It is.
They're not going to run away from anybody. They're not going to fool you with their moves. If you've studied your tape and you're ready, and as aggressively as Kyle and Bryce Callahan have been playing, I think they're okay. What worries me about Callahan, we talked about this a little while ago, is just that he gives up so much size to Adam Thielen, who he's going to, and it's not like they're going to be playing man all night long. But, you know, Thielen is in the slot so much, and that is where Callahan goes. So he is going to see more of Adam Thielen than anybody else.
No doubt about it, Hub. And another player that I want to go back to actually the conversation we had last week. Another player for the Vikings is Kyle Rudolph, their tight end. There was a great caller last week. We were trying to project Adam Shaheen and where he could be in the future. And I think it was a caller or texter that said, what about Kyle Rudolph? Well, it was a perfect time for me to start watching tape of Kyle Rudolph, and because they're playing the Vikings. And that guy, I will take Adam Shaheen as a three-quarters of Kyle Rudolph right now, because Kyle Rudolph is a great player. And speaking of matchups, I don't know who's going to match up with him. Who covers him? And if Bryce Callahan does, that's another size mismatch. Does Eddie Jackson come down and cover him? Does Danny Trevathan cover him? Does Roquan Smith cover him? Because that's a mismatch that he's a mismatch as soon as he walks out on the field. But that's a very, very good player. I think he only has two touchdowns this year, which is kind of behind what he's done in the past. But he's an impressive player. And if Adam Shaheen can be three-quarters of the player of Kyle Rudolph, I'll be happy with that one.
Yeah, there was a stat about Rudolph last year, and I forget exactly how it went. But what it amounted to is that I want to say 37% of his catches were in the red zone. And when they get to the red zone, he's that target you're looking for. And, you know, Pat, I mean, you and I have been doing this for a long time. So big doesn't impress or surprise me all that much. I mean, you know, I've seen some pretty big guys.
Sure.
But Rudolph is one of those guys. He's listed about the same size as most tight ends.
Right.
But he's massive. I mean, I did some interviews with him last year. Matter of fact, I did the I had the radio broadcast of the Vikings-Lions game on Thanksgiving last year, and he had a couple touchdown catches. So I'm talking to him in the locker room, and I mean, I'm used to looking up at football players, but, I mean, he is just massive. He's listed, I think, at about 6'7", 240, 250, but he's one of these guys who just looks so much bigger than that and so impressive, and I don't know how you cover him in short yardage situations or in the red zone.
Well, that's the thing is, in the red zone, you're right. In the end zone, he just boxes guys out. You know, you'll see Kirk Cousins just throw it up to him and say, you're covered, but I trust you that you can catch it. And he's a weapon. He's a guy that scares me in the red zone. And the guys, that's the biggest challenge I see. Like you said, I think Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller can match up okay with Diggs and Thielen, but I think Kyle Rudolph is the one that scares me a little bit in there in the red zone.
Well, you don't have anybody with the size to match up with him no matter where you go. I think
right.
Eddie Jackson is doing a great job at safety. Normally, you're going to see a safety or an outside backer on a tight end. But that's why I make the point about how big he is. I mean, and Shaheen is that big, by the way. That is what's interesting about Adam Shaheen. And as a matter of fact, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but there was one play. Rarely do you remember one play from training camp, but they were doing red zone drills, and he was matched up with, I want to say it was Eddie Jack. No, maybe I'm wrong. I think it was a safety. But all he did was body him up, mm-hmm. like a power forward getting position for the rebound, and he literally just blocked him with his frame, and then this is Shaheen, reached up and made a one-handed catch of a 15-yard line drive, you know, because he's got these massive meat hooks on him too, and that's the kind of player that as you say Kyle Rudolph is. That's the kind of player Heath Miller was with the Steelers. That's kind of the comp I've always used with Shaheen, and Adam Shaheen was probably one of the most improved young Bears in training camp before the injury.
And those are complete tight ends you're talking about, and hopefully Adam Shaheen can become that and not get injured anymore. You know, like we've talked about in the past, his run game, his blocking in the run game has improved tremendously. He was asked not really to do that in college. I wasn't certain how well he would do it in the NFL, and he did a pretty darn good job last year. So with Deion Sims being out, it's going to be interesting to see how much he does play today, if he does play. I think what I'm hearing is he is going to play. Does he put his hand on the ground and block? Does Matt Nagy use him more as a receiver? Or is he just going to be designated for maybe a red zone package? We'll see how much he plays. But with Deion Sims out, they really don't have a blocking tight end without Adam Shaheen having to go in there.
Yeah, and I agree with Greg Gabriel, who visited with us earlier. If he's active, yes, I do expect him to get a lot of snaps, especially since Deion Sims took his spot on injured reserve. And there's plays where you're just not going to put Ben Broniker or Daniel Brown out there. Neither one of them is the blocker. Trey Burton, who is smaller than both of them, is probably a better blocker than those two.
He is.
And he's not a great blocker. I mean, he's a willing blocker,
positioning,
I think is how he describes
blocker,
it. Yeah.
You want to put it
and so they really need Shaheen, you know. And the only reason I was skeptical is because talking to Matt Nagy on Friday, he didn't seem at all confident or comfortable that they were going to be activating him. He didn't say they weren't. And they're not real transparent with some of these injuries, but he's been pretty straight about time frames and where they're at or whatever. And I came away Friday thinking it might be slightly less than 50-50 that they'd activate him. Well, now that he's activated, if he is dressing tonight, then, yeah, he's going to see a lot of action.
Hub, you'll know this. How much was he doing when he was inactive? Was he able to run? Was he able to get in shape? Was he able to lift his legs? You know, where is he in his return physically? I know he's been back at practice for 2 weeks, But do you know what he's been able to do to kind of keep his conditioning?
The problem is that because of the nature of the injury, he couldn't do much of anything.
Right.
You know, he could ride a bike, I guess, but he was in a boot. He was using one of those wheelie things where he wasn't even putting any weight on the
right.
on the leg for a while. But the other thing, I think that he's been rehabbed or recuperated, if you will, for about 3 or 4 weeks
okay.
now. So
okay.
I think these last 3 or 4 weeks have been more about training and getting back in shape
That's
than they have been about rehabbing
me is
the injury.
Losing the strength of your leg,
yeah.
being able to have that power, the strength to even, you know, help yourself out, not get injured. You know, that's the thing with me is guys that come back from foot injuries or leg injuries, they can't do any leg stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they're weak and they go out there and get injured or re-injured. So I'm just hoping he was able to progress enough to keep his strength while he wasn't on the football field.
Yeah, and this is not me complaining about the Bears because realistically, you know, your doctor's not supposed to tell me about you either. I mean, you know, it's not
right.
We know, you know, we get a range of how long they're out. We know what the injury is and we guess the best we can from there. We were never told specifically what this injury was, and I always suspected it was a Liz Frank. It's not if he's coming back this quickly mm-hmm. from it, which is good news. But without knowing, all I know is it was the top of the foot, and so it was very hard to put any weight on it. But I'm pretty sure from what I've been able to get from people I talked to up there, again, that he was actually healed a few weeks ago. They've been working more on conditioning than anything else these last few weeks.
Well, that's a good thing then because I'm excited to see him. He was a player coming into camp, and we've talked weeks previous, I think, when he got injured, that he was a guy we were looking forward to see this year. You know, if you go back to that Cincinnati game, it's a small snippet, but he looked like he turned that corner, like he took that step from, what did he play, D3 to learning how to play in the NFL, and with an offseason and then a training camp and being ready to go this year, I thought he was going to be a weapon. And, you know, he had that setback, but now he's back, and hopefully he can stay healthy, and this is – you know, we were talking about weapons. This is just another weapon for Matt Nagy to play with.
Well, and the big difference in getting him back is that when Deion Sims was healthy, Deion Sims is a very good inline blocker, but he has hands of stone.
That's
Yeah, he's not a good receiver. Now, you put Shaheen out there and you get your two tight end packages. Now, suddenly, he and Trey Burton are both dangerous targets. And that's while, of course, you've still got Robinson, Gabriel, whoever else is out there with him. I mean, they're going to come up with some combinations of receivers that most teams just don't see.
Right.
I mean, you know, think about putting, let's say, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohn, Trey Burton, and Adam Shaheen out there. Well, who covers who?
Right.
You know, so it's just more of the multiple looks that Matt Nagy has been working on. 312-644-6767 is our phone number. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're going to visit with Mark Grody live from Soldier Field any minute now as we get the actives and the inactives, talk about any late news that he is getting from Soldier Field. Our buddy Dan Pompey will be here at 6:30, so he'll take us a little closer to kickoff. We've got a little extra show for you today because of the 7:20 start on Sunday night, so we'll take you right up to kickoff a few minutes before as we hand it off. I believe CBS Sports Radio Network will be taking over, but we'll get it right back here as soon as the game ends. Olin will be here. Big Cat will be here. We'll be talking, hopefully, about a Bears win, have the post-game show for you. Again, if you want to join the conversation now, 312-644-6767. You know, Pat, we were talking before about where the Bears might improve themselves, where to look at the roster. I don't know if this is an improvement or not, because I think he's one of the best backs in the NFL. But my sense, and again, I'm not willing to put my name on this yet, but what I've sensed the last few weeks is that the issue with Jordan Howard in this running game may be more about style than ability. And I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't get figured out in the next 7 weeks if they make a change at running back. I mean, you know, you probably used a fifth-round pick on Jordan Howard. Because he was a fifth-round pick, there is no fifth-year option to pick up. After next year, he'll be a free agent. You might be able to get a third rounder for Jordan Howard. And I'm not. This is not something I'm hearing from Ryan Pace or the Bears or anybody. But if they can't figure out a way to use him, it just tells me because he is such a different style back from what all those Chiefs backs were, and even what the Eagles backs are. And they may just want a little more speed at the position, not necessarily a lot smaller. And that could be another area where they could be making a change.
No, and we might be seeing it already. You know, Taequann Mizell is active. He was a kick returner last week. That's another story. He needs to work on that a little bit. But there were some times where he was in there where you thought Jordan Howard would be. So maybe this is an audition for Taequann Mizell to see if he can take over that spot that you're talking about, being more that speedy, shifty, receiving running back because that's what he was. I was at Virginia, Virginia Tech, where he went.
I think it was Tech, yeah.
Okay, that's who he is, and that maybe they're trying to see if he can be that multi-dimensional running back where Jordan Howard doesn't seem like he has that entire skill set that Matt Nagy likes with Tariq Cohen.
I talked to somebody in Lake Forest, an anonymous source, and you'll understand why he has to remain anonymous. I'll tell you it's a he.
Okay.
You know, and it was shortly after we got back from Bourbonnais. And I was like, what is the Taquan Mizell of? I just don't see it on the field. I mean, through four or five preseason games, he averaged 2.5 yards a pop. And he said, well, there are people in the scouting department who just loved his ability to be a huge factor in both the passing and the running game when he was in college. So that may be, but he didn't show me the ability to do either thing
right.
in Bourbonnais or in the preseason
right.
games. And to me, having him take carries away from Jordan Howard is criminal. But we'll see how he's only taken one so far, so we'll see how much that happens. We do have Mr. Grody now. Mark Grody has dialed in from Soldier Field, and we do appreciate it, Mark. Know that a little different timing this week because of the later start, so we're assuming that you just got your hands on the lineup updates. Welcome. Glad to have you. And what can you tell us? Any surprises on the active-inactive list tonight?
Yeah, I think that the a couple of things. Kevin White, inactive once again. Marcus Cooper Sr., Michael Burton, Kylie Fitz, Rashad Coward, Javon Wims, and Nick Williams. And then on that list, we do not see Adam Shaheen. So presumably we will get to see Adam Shaheen out here, the Bears tight end who was just activated a day ago. So that's some news for the Bears watching right now. What a lot of people that they don't normally watch is, and Patrick, you'll appreciate this, the three-man kicking team out there right now with Cody Parkey taking, and the field goals that I've seen has made so far, and there's a bunch of fans right up front encouraging him and cheering him on, so that's a good thing to see right now, is that obviously he's got to make his kicks tonight, but there appears to be an encouraging bunch of Bears fans out here who are watching Cody Parkey again just put a 40-yarder through the uprights as we speak.
The ultimate power move he could have done was hit the upright on his first kick. Prove everybody I'm that accurate. I did it on purpose. I'm all right.
Right, like go 5 for 5 on free throws for the post. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Mark, we'll get back to stuff that matters in a moment, but I got to get my two cents in here. I thought some of the most asinine reporting I have ever heard. And by the way, please don't take this personally because I'm going to talk about some of our friends in the media. What was the point of flying a helicopter over Soldier Field? Like you were going to see anything or get any real knowledge by being in the helicopter and watching him practice?
Well, Hub, I don't know that there was anything practical about it, but they sure got a lot of attention for doing that. Everybody was talking about it. It became an even bigger quote-unquote story when the Bears pulled the picture, and, you know, that they have rules like all NFL teams do that you can't take pictures or really watch parts of practice, and that's what that was considered. So the outlet got the attention they may have been craving for something like that. But I also know some of the other outlets weren't happy that they broke the rules and that the others weren't in on it. So, yeah, plenty of talk about that in almost a more of a gossipy way at Hallis Hall this week.
All right, so let's get to something that actually matters relative to Cody Parkey and Mitch Trubisky. Temperatures shouldn't be horrible. When you're playing football, it feels 15, 20 degrees warmer, so I'm sure the players will be fine. It's going to be dry. But what about the wind? Anything to worry about there?
Not right now. There's not a big wind factor as we stay here. Now, interestingly enough, I was just talking to Chris Tabor, the special team coach for the Bears, and you know he said that, as I move away from the drum line here. He said that even though, you know, it is fairly still right now, it's different once you get higher up and at the goalpost. And he said in particular, he said that if there is one side that's a little bit trickier to kick on, it's the south end zone as opposed to the north end zone that he says plays a little bit truer. So nothing obvious in the wind category, but that doesn't mean that it obviously won't pick up and that there isn't a wind factor a little bit higher up.
All right, Mark, I got to ask about field conditions. I was reading up on the Minnesota Vikings. That was a question a bunch of the beat reporters were asking their players, and a lot of the guys that have played in Soldier Field before were saying it's one of the worst fields they ever play on. How is that? I know last week it was pretty good. Is it still pretty good? And is that going to be an issue for the Vikings at all, or get in their head at all?
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's an issue. I mean, I just got a chance to walk in the field earlier. It's probably going to not be as comfortable as it was last week. And the word was that it was very soft last week. And as I reported to you guys, they resodded the entire field for last week's game. So I the field looks to be in really good condition. There were not any problems with it last week. So early on, I would say that the field is getting a good grade, but we'll keep that monitored throughout the contest tonight.
One more thing is, last week we talked about you getting to use the heaters on the sideline. Were you able to get that done, and did you get
dude,
kicked away from those when you were warming up your hands?
Dude, I have to tell you, I just came from those heaters. I didn't need them last week, but I've been out here like for the last 2 hours now. Holy mackerel, do those things work. I always just thought they were like your standard heaters, and they're pretty strong. You got to get close to them to really feel it. Like, I mean, I took my gloves off, and my hands were thawed out in seconds. And I was told by one of the officials over there, "Oh yeah, you get too close to this thing, you will start on fire." Yep. So those things are incredibly helpful. We'll find out. I have not, like I said, I have yet to be invited during a game to get in front of the heater. And in my first year, I'm not going to try to pull any funny stuff. But if they invite me in, I'm going in.
You've got 9 games under your belt. You'll be allowed.
Yeah, Mark, I told you last week. I'm going to tell you again. Don't wait to be invited. Just go for it, man. They're not going to stop you. Hey,
won't. You're probably right.
Before we go, I know you were actually asking the question Friday when we were visiting with Matt Nagy. Do you have any more sense of that right guard position? Does it look like – it sounds to me like Brian Witzman has won that position. As I listen to the conversation, Matt didn't say that, but he did say we're pretty comfortable with what we're doing there, and Witzman is clearly getting more snaps than Cush is.
Yeah, you know what? I've sort of had a tough feel for this all along, because 2 weeks ago when we asked the question, they said, yeah, we're totally comfortable with rotating. And then this past week, they said, going into last week's game against Detroit, they said the same thing, that, oh, yeah, we're going to rotate. Then we saw Witzman in there the whole time. So it sure does look like it's going to be Witzman. And I'm wondering, too, if and Cush is not showing up on the injury report, with that neck injury that he had had. I mean, that's something that you don't mess with, but they can't afford to not have him active at this point. So that could have something to do with it. Or they just feel more comfortable with Witzman. And that's not something that I would have predicted, considering he came into the game a lot later than Eric Cush did. But we'll see.
Well, yeah, here's the thing to keep in mind, though. Witzman was a 13-game starter for Matt Nagy with Kansas City last year. When Cush was with him in Kansas City, he was a backup there, too. And so my guess is that may have something to do with it. But, again, we'll see. I think the more interesting story is James Daniels on the other side and how he's developing. So we will keep an eye on that tonight as well. Before I let you go, anything you need to add, anything we need to know as we get ready for Bears-Vikings?
Well, just the fact that, Cody Parkey doing his thing out here as per usual. Beyond that, pretty standard. I mean, there's definitely a feel out here. The fans are in the park or in the stadium earlier, I think, than they usually are, despite the cold and just considering how marquee of a game this is. This place is going to be loud tonight.
All right, Mark, we appreciate the knowledge. Folks, you can listen to Mark Grody during the game on the broadcast at our sister station, the WBBM News Radio 780 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark will be on the sidelines all night long. He is our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score, checking in every day with everything Bears. He will, of course, join Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer on the call tonight. Get over there when our pregame is done. The minute you hear the final gun, get right back here for our postgame with Olin Krutz and Big Cat Williams. And by the way, right back here is the Piazza in Aurora. I am very late for a break. I'll give you directions how to get here in just a moment. We're back soon right here at The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.